is that which is not good, that which is not directed towards love or the good of another above myself. We need to recognize that there are times that we sin, that we choose sin. Because when you think about it, the greatest gift we've been given, free choice, free will, the ability to choose, and in the same way that love is a choice, to desire the good of another above myself, we freely can choose that. And only when we freely choose that is it authentically love. Well, in the same way, but on the opposite end, we also can freely choose that which is not love. And our life is full of these moments if we stop and examine it. The times that we choose love, but also the times when we fail to. Those times that we choose something that harms our relationship with ourselves or others or God. And so when we come into Mass, right at the beginning, after we've marked ourselves with a sign of discipleship, the cross, after we've exchanged the opening dialogue, the greeting that moves the Spirit within us and speaks to our heart, then we enter into the penitential rite. Sometimes we hear penance, penitential, and we think of punishment. But this has nothing to do with anything that is punishment. This is an opportunity, the penitential rite, is a moment for us to say, okay, in the scope of relationship, how are we? What's going on right now, Lord? Where is my heart in the choices that it's making? Because I'm about to attempt to enter into communion with love itself. So I need an opportunity to acknowledge those times when, honestly, I'm not living love. And so that penitential rite, it begins with that invitation. Let us pause for a moment to acknowledge our sins. That's the first half. That statement is always said in some way. And then in the Missal, the big red book that has all the prayers and also the instructions for Mass, it has the instruction for the priest. It says a priest here pauses briefly because it's to allow us to actually acknowledge our sins, to call to mind those moments when we chose something other than love, other than right relationship, something other than what our heart is made for. And so we pause to acknowledge our sins. But that's just the first part. It doesn't stop there, which I think is really important for us to remember. Because a lot of times, maybe, we recognize that we have sinned. But what upsets us isn't the sin, but that we sinned. All of a sudden, we look at ourselves as unlovable. We look at ourselves with shame because we're so upset that we messed up, that we chose something other than what we were made for. And so the most important part of the penitential act is not seeing ourselves as sinners, but to recognize and focus on the reality of mercy. The penitential act, it starts with acknowledging our sins, and then immediately there are three options that we can enter into to call upon the mercy of God, and the intercession of the body of Christ. There's three options for the penitential act. One being what we call the confiteor. The first option, the confiteor. Confiteor means I confess. So hearing that, you can probably guess those times when we start and say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. And we go through that whole prayer, that whole statement where it's acknowledging and allowing us to take responsibility for the fact that we have sinned. We have chosen that which we're not made for. But then it asks for this intercession. It asks for the prayers of Mary and the saints and you, my brothers and sisters, to draw us into this merciful relationship that is constantly the reality. A God who wants to take us and transform us. He wants to take that sin and through his Son, let those sins become areas actually where we participate in redemption. That's the first option. The second option, option B, is the option that during Lent we've been chanting at the beginning. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned against you. That statement of ownership of the sin, taking responsibility. And then show us, O Lord, your mercy and grant us your salvation. Moving it into that reality that our God sees us as beloved sons and daughters, that he desires our redemption and transformation. The entire passion and mission of Jesus Christ speaks to that reality. And then the third option we have are what we call the tropes. These are the three statements that are said. So for example, you were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. Every one of those statements is not an examination. It's not focusing on necessarily the particulars of our sin, but it's moving us into those final statements of mercy, desiring a merciful love in that relationship, because that's what we are entering into. Sin is serious, but we're identified as beloved sons and daughters. We're identified by relationship, not by our sins. And so for us to take a moment right at the beginning of all of this, to take ownership, to take responsibility for those choices we freely made, and let those be opportunities to be drawn deeper into their relationship with the Father. That's what the penitential act is about. And then it ends with the prayer, a prayer of absolution from the priest. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to eternal life. That's the movement that is happening. That's the reality of the penitential act. And I think for a visual, we're given a beautiful visual in today's psalm. Psalm 51, create a clean heart for me, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. This beautiful language of our hearts, the seat of our relationships, that it would be cleansed, renewed constantly. Psalm 51, where it's placed in the context of the Psalms, it's written as a psalm after a psalm for David, after he has committed adultery with Bathsheba. This is after Nathan comes and he gives this story of this king who has everything and yet takes from the poor man who takes everything that he has. And David says, that man, he's a piece of trash. And Nathan says, King David, you are that man. And in this moment of recognition, this great king, in his greatest moment of his greatest sin, adultery, murder, everything that involved, the heartbreak, the brokenness, what does he do? He immediately takes responsibility for that. And he speaks these words, create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit. There's this recognition, the choices I made, they were not for love. They were not for right relationship, and they're breaking me. So Lord, have mercy. Renew this covenant. Renew the relationship. When we hear covenant, we should be thinking relationship. That's David's response. And I think that's interesting, important for us to sit with this psalm, because honestly, our human response a lot of times is to create excuses. It's to try to justify in some way our sin. Yeah, I chose this, but if you really understood why, you would probably choose it too. We try to explain away our sin. We try to say, yeah, this was bad, but maybe that person's way worse. Instead of this reality that if a relationship is to grow, there has to be a responsibility taken for the choices. And not in a way that identifies us by those choices, but in a way that frees us then to enter unbound into those relationships more deeply. That's the reality with our God who is desiring to renew his covenant with each and every one of us, to draw us deeper into his relationship of love, gift of self for other. We are entering deeper into that every time we come into this celebration. And so we start it by first taking responsibility, acknowledging the times that we've sinned, calling them to mind. Because what that testifies to is the greatness of the mercy of our God. It helps us tangibly to understand how much God actually does love us and desire us. He sees us as good and draws us more fully into relationship. If we first take the responsibility, if we take that step and enter into that relationship. And so the importance of that penitential act right at the beginning of Mass, it makes total sense. Because the very movement of all of it, the very movement of salvation history, of the Father sending the Son to draw us into a deeper relationship, it involves the reality of the penitential act. That God would have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.